Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, welcome to Good Cop, Bad Cop 127. Matt, as you are back, and it's so good to hear your voice again. You're sounding so much better. I know you wanted to talk before we introduced our guest, so go ahead, star of the show. Tell us what you want to share with us, please.
I appreciate those kind words. As I said last week on the open agenda for, and thank you to Zachary Charlotte, by the way, for doing the the special episode of us. Last week, obviously, I was laid up. Myself and Chris both were unfortunately diagnosed positive with COVID, but we have both kicked its ass. And I hope I never, ever see the light that thing again, ever. As you also know, is that since before Christmas, I've been trying to lose 150 pounds of weight.
Yes.
In the period of time that I was laid up with COVID, I lost a stone.
Woof! For our American listeners,
is 14 pounds.
There you go. they use a lot of units like that, but I'm going to say even Brits go excessive with stones. They don't even go that far in America.
I'm down to 285 pounds. Which is less
which
than
is
Brock
the same
Lesnar.
As? Ah.
It's less than Brock Lesnar.
Ah, very impressive.
I said it to my mum, and even she knew who he was, so I was there. I was quite happy about that.
Very good. I'm going to introduce and apologize to our guest today. If I'd have realized, I could have told him to log on 5 minutes later. I didn't know you wanted to steal the stage a little bit. Specifically, Devoid podcast co-host, Micah. I know he's going to be joining us also as part of the Specifically Devoid podcast in February, but we had a spot that needed filling today. Unfortunately, our originally scheduled guest couldn't make it. We are rescheduling for later in the year. So we want to thank Micah for stepping in today. Micah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Don't have work today for the first time in 5 days. So they called me in, but I said, I can't. I'm doing good cop, bad cop. And they were like, we get it.
Now, actually, as we've got you just as yourself today, what we should talk about is, because I was actually on your new show, I don't think it's out yet, but I think it's coming out soon. So can you tell us about the In Kayfabe podcast?
So In Kayfabe is a new show. It's not necessarily a podcast. I guess it could be in audio form. But so what it is a monthly show where I dive a little too deep into the real life ramifications of what happens when kayfabe exists. So, for example, Derek and I talked about Stone Cold getting run over by Rikishi and how much jail time Rikishi would face. And Triple H as his accomplice was that. So I look into the state laws at the time, which is way easier than it should be. You can just look it up.
Your knowledge of the law was, I gotta say, very impressive. And as a Brit living in America, I don't know everything. In fact, I didn't recognize you today because you didn't have the sunglasses on. I'm so used to your In Kayfabe character that, I didn't recognize who you were to begin with. So, yes, that's something definitely that people should check out on the channel when it comes out. So, I always think of you more as the YouTube channel. I don't think you actually do release as podcast format as well, though, right?
Yeah, we release them all, all the ones that you can think of. We just got on iHeartRadio the other month.
Fantastic.
I'm trying to get Overcast. It's equivalent to Anchor from my experience, though.
If you're on Apple, you're automatically on Overcast. That's how I'm told it works. But I only found that out recently. As far as I know, there's only one exception to that where that hasn't worked.
We're everything. Bullhorn, Overcast, YouTube Music, whatever you want.
Okay, there you go. That's pretty good. But yes, I know my appearance will be soon, and I believe my co-host is probably very jealous because I know that he wanted to be. He always likes to be the first of everything. I believe that he'll also be appearing at some point in the future too.
I believe I have been contacted by Micah. I'm assuming Micah runs that part of the account. So yes, I do hope to at some point be on that show and you know, have some fun.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I can definitely say that. It would suit you much better, Matt, I think. You're much better at improvising than I am, but I had a lot of fun doing it, that's for sure. Shall we move on to some good cop moments for the week?
Good! Bad!
Go listen to This Good Cop Moment, the King of Wrestling podcast, the number one source for independent wrestling. You can listen to him on all major podcast platforms. If you do listen on Apple Podcasts, go give him a 5-star rating and go follow him on Twitter as well at KOWP Show.
Good. Bad.
All right, let's start off with our main Good Cop Moments for the week. So guests always go first. So Micah, what do you have from us from the week of wrestling for us?
I would have to say that my main good cop moment would have to be SmackDown, as of recording last night. I loved the Sami Zayn sit-in protest during the Big E Apollo Crews match, I believe. That was very funny. I know it ended in a DQ, but Sami Zayn is consistently one of the most entertaining performers since he's come back. I think he lost the belt too soon, but yeah, I'd have to say that
it's very interesting. I talked a little bit ahead of time. I said I'm kind of worried that Matt might steal my moment. Now, I only said that because I wanted to talk about WWE as well, which is unusual. It's not very often that we all want to talk about WWE, but yeah, there was a great show. The thing that was fortunate was, though, there is multiple things that we could possibly have chosen. And I thought, like, you could have easily done a speed check for this, where you write down, I like this segment, I like this segment, I like this segment, I like this segment. So thankfully we do that second, so that wouldn't spoil our main cop moments. I agree with you. There's been some great memes this week, particularly with Bernie Sanders, I would say would be in the main one. But I already saw people memeing the Sami Zayn, changing what's on the sign and things like that. But yeah, I thought it was really good. Handcuffing himself, it was brilliant. I really enjoyed watching that as well. Matt, you probably watched it as well, I'm guessing. So what did you think?
Haven't seen SmackDown, couldn't tell you.
What?
Haven't seen SmackDown.
What? Not even highlights?
Haven't seen Raw, haven't seen NXT.
Wow. And so when you told me earlier, I'm going to be very surprised at your moments. You weren't joking then, were you?
Wow. I was not, Graham. You said, and I quote, the day that you don't watch WWE, I want to edit that episode. You're editing, Graham. So I'm not talking about any WWE today at all. So I'm just going to sit here quietly.
So this will be great then. So it's probably a good job we do have a guest this week then, because particularly I do want to talk some WWE, otherwise you'd have nothing to contribute at all. Now, I was actually going to go
contribute because I have been watching Twitter.
Okay, so you rely on my normal way of commenting on WWE.
Yeah,
from little snippets you see here and there, but nothing to add about Sami Zayn though, is that right?
Sami Zayn does not need a championship belt. Sami Zayn is over. Sami Zayn is adored by the fan base. He could be the most dastardly heel. He could be the most over baby face. He could be exactly what he is right now. The fans eat him up with a fork and a spoon. And in fact, if Vince got behind him a bit more, I'd say he could be a contender for the Rumble match. But Vince won't get behind him like that. Although, he kind of did, because he let him keep the IC title for all those months, so he did in a way, but I don't know. He's getting a push, but he's not. He's the nearly guy, and that's what he's always been, and I want him to be more than that.
He gets a little bit, and then he gets it taken away again, and then he gets another little bit, and then he gets it taken away.
That's his whole gimmick right now, and I like that.
Yeah. Well, the moment that I wanted to talk about then was the fact that, and this is unusual for me to comment on, I'm not saying it never happens, but it's very unusual, We actually had an intergender match on WWE this week. We actually had Sasha, and we actually had, I think his name's Reginald. I didn't actually write it down, and I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I think it's Reginald.
Yeah.
And the person who is the, whatever his role is, I want to say valet for Carmella.
He's a sommelier.
Oh, okay, thank you. When I saw that, I was absolutely shocked. That was something that I was not really expecting. I know we talked about it over a year ago, and we've always talked about the fact that it's not going to happen, the advertisers don't like it, and then they went back to it. Now, it could have turned into a bad cop moment fairly easily if I'd have needed one, because there was actually no attacking of actually on Sasha. Sasha got to put in blows onto Reginald, but there was nothing really in return, as in he wasn't hitting her, doing forearms to the head or anything like that. Boy, did Reginald look impressive, though. That I was not expecting. When I heard that there was that match, I was like, okay, I can see why they put that match together. I was not expecting anything like that level of skill from Reginald at all. I had to look him up. I was like, I'm guessing he was just on the indies, but I didn't know about him. Nope, wasn't an indie wrestler. I knew nothing about his background until today when I looked. He's actually from Cirque du Soleil. They said he was an acrobat specializing in hoop diving. WWE bosses saw him in January 2020. They signed him up for the Performance Center. They kept him very quiet because I certainly didn't know about it. His given name was Akeem Young, which I looked then up on Cage Match to see, oh, did I just miss some matches on NXT? Nope, didn't have a single match on NXT. That was actually his debut yesterday. Very impressive. Do I think it should have been against Sasha where he made his debut? Possibly not. I think he's more of a 205 live wrestler, or he certainly could go in with NXT. But, boy, does that give him a profile now. You give him that high-level match right at the start, that's going to set that guy's career going really quickly. I'm hoping that this is going to lead to more with WWE experimenting with intergender wrestling. I know it's not going to reach anything like it is on the indies for many, many, many years. But I like it each time they make those steps towards that. That's something that I like. And that's something the boys like watching as well. You ask Mason, what does he like watching? Intergender wrestling. He'll say it every single time. Yep. That was my good cop moment for the week.
Pretty good one too, Graham. Right. So try my good cop moment for the week.
You didn't see it, so you haven't got anything to comment on it. Micah, did you see the match at all?
I saw a little bit of it. And I thought it was cute. I wouldn't say it wasn't more of a match. It was more of a angle to get Sasha Banks over. But, I mean, for someone who hadn't wrestled before, I certainly never seen him before, for this Carmella gimmick, thought it was cool.
I haven't seen any natural replacement since Leo Rush left NXT. It looks like that guy could be a perfect replacement to fill that gap from when Leo left. He looked like a very similar skill set. Probably doesn't have quite the technical wrestling skills right now, but he certainly has obviously that acrobatic side. So I'll certainly be interested to see where he goes.
Hey, a good cop moment of the week now, Graham. Let me take you back a long way back to last September. Now, I can do this, Graham, because you do this all the time. Something that you've become aware of this week. Something I've become aware of this week. It's the documentary series, Step Into the Ring. I don't know if you've heard of it or not. It's basically an amazing series about people who have got disabilities like autism, Down syndrome, etc. And they overcome their issues and they get in the ring and actually wrestle. And it's a phenomenal series. Zat Knight is behind it all. Obviously, he's the brother of Paige. It's phenomenal. 34 episodes long. I hope that you guys in America can get to see it at some point, because I don't know if it's region locked or not, but it's a phenomenal, phenomenal series. Seeing some of these amazing, amazing talents getting past, you know, people will be ridiculed for, unfortunately, because unfortunately there's some nasty people in the world and they get to live their dream of actually competing. I mean, they're trained properly and everything like that, and they're having matches, and they're not five-star classics that sell out at Tokyo Dome, but it was their matches which make me think, made me feel good inside. Made me feel good. It got me quite a few times, actually. They're only about half an hour long, each episode, but so it's about 2 hours of your life. But there's so much stuff out there, guys. And this is something that's brilliant. And it's British wrestling, which need more of a positive note at the moment. I've got more of that in my speed check. Yeah, long may that continue.
What channel are you watching that on?
BBC.
Okay, obviously I have a VPN, so I can access things, but yeah, I'd connect. If you were saying it was like on YouTube and it was locked in Britain, I might have been able to access it, but yeah, I'm not sure.
It's on the BBC iPlayer in the United Kingdom. So I'm not entirely sure if you can get it on BBC America. I hope that you can.
I don't have cable right now, but I'm hoping it's possibly one of those things that another channel possibly picks up, or I don't know. I'm not going to say the network will pick it up, but hopefully something that's one of those subscription channels for wrestling. Hopefully that might be something that they would pick up so I could watch it. That certainly sounds very interesting for sure. Yep.
Fingers crossed. Right. That's thinking then, Graham, if you don't mind, Graham, Micah, would you like to do your speech check for Good Cop, sir?
Sure. So I got 60 seconds, right?
You got it. We have a little timer here. We'll break kayfabe as well, so I'll hold it up to the screen so you can see like how long you got left as well.
All right. So I'll start off with the Inner Circle Triple Threat Tag Team match. I thought that was very fun. Botches aside, I think that it provides a nice little angle to go into it. AEW announced a tournament for the women's division. I think that it's also it's a step in the right direction. Their A is obviously their tag team division, but I think that this is showing improvement because there are many other divisions that don't get tag teams, that don't get tournaments. Impact Wrestling, very cool. Private Party, Matt Hardy. Going in. Private Party winning. Big shock on Private Party. And I find Adam Pearce a delight on every show he's on. I don't find him annoying at all, even though I probably should. And Roman Reigns is a hunk.
There you go. That's pretty good. You certainly had one thing that I was going to talk about as well, so why don't I go straight into my minute then as well. I thought Private Party on Impact made a lot of sense. You bring Matt Hardy back as well. Obviously, he's established on Impact. I thought that worked really well. You've got that rivalry now with the Good Brothers as well. I think the Good Brothers will win the match eventually, but I like the fact that they are bringing people over. It's not just Kenny. We know there's another step to this now as well. I can never pronounce the name, but Casey Catanzaro, the finisher from the top rope on NXT this week. Wow. We talked about acrobatic skill, obviously, phenomenal. And Matt, although I mocked you earlier for mentioning segments that we're not supposed to do, I'm going to have to do the same thing as well. I banned you from doing this, but one of my good cop moments for this week is the JGB Wrestling Podcast. My six-year-old right now, he's an absolute legend. He's editing the podcast. He wants his podcast to be longer than his brother. So how did we do it this week? He was like, why don't we do a watch-along? I was like, sure, let's do that. Which one did he pick? The hour-long match between John Cena and Randy Orton. I had so much fun recording that. We had about an hour and a half material. So much fun to do. That's my minute.
Fair enough. I'll get to my pick in 1 second. I just want to say, Graham, who's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time?
Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, Cody.
Eddie Guerrero, Graham. And what's his mantra? I lie, Graham. And I lie because I watched all of Raw, SmackDown, and NXT this week.
Okay. You dirty dog.
Of course. But, you know, you got to play up to it every now and again. Okay, first thing I want to do, Graham, is talk about NXT UK, who managed to hire someone during the pandemic, Aaliyah James. She looked amazing in her debut at NXT UK this week. Please go check her out if you get a chance. Alexa Bliss, again, with some amazing, phenomenal character work. Yes, there was a clear pre-recorded segment in order to do the outfit change, but that's fine. Loved the Lacey Evans Ric Flair link up. It's annoying, which is why I liked it. Seeing Gilbert was great. He was in the ICU after a heart attack in December, and it's January now. It's great to see him back in that sort of shape. Drew McIntyre being upfront and honest about him having COVID. Glad that he actually is. AJ Styles, His Styles Clash off the ropes on Ricochet, and the whole match was amazing in general. Stallion helping Lucha House Party looked phenomenal. He looked amazing. And the Widow's Bell across referee's back, never seen anything like that.
And as usual, you ran over time. Some things never change.
Perfect!
I have to admit, and I'm glad that I think it was High Five Tom on a View from the Top Rope thought the same thing. I actually thought Gilberger died. I remember hearing that story. I remember the severity of it. And then when he came out there, I was actually genuinely surprised. I honestly thought that he had passed. So, yeah, fantastic that he actually not only just recovered, but is able to actually go out into the ring and obviously perform his character as well. So, yeah, that was great to see.
It was a delight to see.
That was actually part of my bad cop speed check, because maybe a person who shouldn't have, who recently almost died, should not be in the middle of a pandemic. That's a respiratory issue. He had a respiratory issue as well. Maybe not.
I would agree with that, but it was good to see him better. Yeah. That's what I was getting at. Agree with your comment, though.
They've obviously put Ric Flair in similar positions, and he's obviously much older. So if they're prepared to do it to Ric Flair, then I'm sure they're perfectly prepared to do it to Gilbert as well.
Yeah, but Ric Flair wasn't like in the ICU a couple months ago, though.
He has been, though. He was in a coma, I seem to remember. He was really close to dying. Yeah.
He kicked out at 2.5, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. He was in a really bad way. That one was the more surprising. That just did not look like he was going to recover from that. Now, as we're mixing segments up a little bit as well, I'm hoping this is not going to spoil anyone's segment. I don't have this written down for any of my bad cop moments, but it seems quite relevant right now. WWE has said that they're not going to pay for the COVID vaccine for any of their wrestlers. They said that it's basically on the wrestlers to do. I'm getting a little tired of Vince Nickel and Diamond people. Absolutely ridiculous. They made record profits last year, and that's how you're going to respond. You're not going to get something that's going to protect your wrestlers. All the harm, potential harm that you've put them in these last few months, that's how you reward them. That is absolutely ridiculous to me. I'm getting tired of this not caring enough for you. How can you care so little about? Can they afford it? I'm sure they can, but I think that why wouldn't you take care of your company? Like, I'm sure for AEW, and I haven't heard the figures, I'm going to guess Tony Khan will take care of that.
I'm quite concerned about that news. I hadn't heard that news. That's concerning. Very, very concerning. I don't like that.
I believe I read it on PW Guru yesterday, but it wasn't a time when I had my notes with me, and I was like, oh, I'll remember, I'll write it down. And obviously I didn't write it down, otherwise it clearly would have been one of my bad cop moments. But just Micah mentioning those people who it might not be great for them to be in that situation. And you'd think that he could organize that. Hey, guys, we're going to get everybody in today. Everyone gets their vaccine. Boom. 3 months later. 3 weeks later. Boom. Everyone gets their second one. How much is that going to cost? Not that much, surely. I'm absolutely appalled by that.
It's $25 a time, isn't it, America? Something like
that? That I do not know. But yeah, I'm sure you've got to pay things here, the administration fee, and then you've got to pay the insurers something as well. And it all chips in. You can't get anything for $25 over here.
I've got the NHS.
All right. I think we might transition kind of nicely. Should we find out what our real bad cop moments were for the week, though?
Good! Bad!
All right. Don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free. All right, Micah, what was the worst thing that you saw in wrestling this week?
Well, now it just seems petty.
I should have saved that one, but I didn't have it written down. I was like, it's not going to last another week.
So, Undertaker was on the Joe Rogan Experience this week, and he said something along the lines of, I don't like how all these young kids are playing video games now, because back in my day, the guys were so much more masculine and had guns and knives, and it was much more of a brotherhood, which, makes you think about everything. Like, oh, I'm pretty sure video games are way less deadly than actual guns and knives, and maybe don't say that. He also said that the guys, like, aren't creative. He slagged off a bunch of people. And I don't know, maybe Undertaker, out of character, isn't such a good guy.
I can give you the exact quote, because I had it for my speed check. In that era of guys, too, there were men. You go into a dressing room nowadays, and it's a lot different. I remember walking into my first real dressing room, and all I saw was some crusty effing men. Half of them had guns and knives in their bags. Shit got handled back then. Now you walk in, there's guys playing video games, and effing making sure they look pretty. It's evolution, I guess. I don't know what it is, but I just like those eras, man. I liked when men were men. Yeah, it resonated with me straight away, that particularly that last phrase, that I liked when men were men, but then saying that it was because they had guns and knives. Like, when you put those two things together and shit got handled back then, I'm reading that as, yeah, if somebody stepped out of line, basically vigilanteism, as far as I can tell, if they've got their guns and their knives. It didn't sit well with me at all. I don't see the problem. If Matt, you know that I'm not a video gamer, but I don't have problems with people playing video games. Like, they're not causing any problems there. If that's what they want to do to get themselves in the right mindset before a match, so be it. I know some people listen to music. Some people want to play video games. Some people just want to play on their phones. Whatever it is, what's the big deal like that? Making sure they look pretty. I'm sure that's in relation to the old days when the bad guys, they were kind of a little out of shape. They just looked rough and ready. But yeah, I didn't get that. He said he thinks it's evolution, but then he's kind of just suggested that he preferred the older times. I was a little disappointed in Undertaker when I heard that as well. To me, it didn't sit very nice. But yeah, I did not like that last comment. I liked when men were men and all the things that could possibly insinuate. Matt?
Respect I have for Mark Calloway is off the chart. Some of that's just been eroded there. When men were men. As a gamer and a gamer, fuck you, Calloway.
I can't.
Xavier Woods is the prime example of this. Now, Xavier Woods, obviously, is the whole up, up, down, down. Whether or not you watch a grab, I know you don't. Michael might. The fact is that Xavier Woods, of his own back, has managed to get that and launch, and the trajectory that has gone is phenomenal. And he's had people from AEW on the show as well. So it's truly fantastic. You see some amazing females playing the game as well. I mean, people say girl gamer. It's not girl gamer. It's just gamer. I love the fact that wrestling and gaming has this interlocking all the time sort of thing. The thing that really got me there is, because I can put the fact you don't like gaming to one side. I can put it to one side. When men were men, take it. You have had one of the greatest gimmicks of all time. You can't have a wrestling match anymore without almost killing somebody or yourself. The only reason you had the match of the year last year was because the whole thing took place over 3 fucking days. I'm glad he's retired. He can stay that way. You were saying, Graham, sorry.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I think we all noticed it, and none of us were impressed with it. I would have thought, particularly this last year...
I did. First time I heard about it was from you two.
Oh, okay. But that was my raw reaction. They've had to, obviously, social distance a lot, so you can't all sit together in the locker room like you normally would either. So you need something where you can kind of entertain yourself but stay away from people. They've also had to obviously go and clean the ring after every single match as well. We obviously don't see that on TV because they edit that stuff out. But you're sat in those locations possibly for longer than what you might normally be. Unless Vince is literally calling you in like, hey, we need you here at this time, we'll get you straight in. But there is definitely time where you've got to be separated from other people. So why would people would have problems with gaming specifically in this one? Well, like I say, listening to music or whatever it is that you need to do to entertain yourself during that downtime, I don't see a problem with it at all. My bad cop moment, and you'll have already heard this at the start because we're going to play the 10 count for him, is the death of John Porkchop Johnson. This has hit me really hard. Obviously, we've had quite a few recently. People who listen to MGB will know I've talked about Bruiser, who passed away recently. That was not as so surprising, as we realized he had leukemia. We knew his time was limited. And so when it finally happened, it was sad, but in some ways a blessing at the same time, knowing that he wasn't going through any pain anymore. This one was a total bolt from the blue. I don't know what it was that made me, as I woke up at 1:30 in the morning, start to look on social media. I don't normally do that. Normally it's like, 1:30, you need to go back to sleep. I decided to look, and then when I saw people posting about this within the last hour, I was shocked. I had no idea what his age was, but I realized, like Brody Lee, it was far too young. I since discovered, because of Classic Pro Wrestling, who put on a whole tribute to him, 1987 to 2021. So you don't need to be a great mathematician to work out. That's far too young. At the oldest, it would be 34, and at the youngest, it could be 33. Yeah, the tribute that they did was amazing. Much like me right now, I can relate to them. The owner of CPW had to stop recording his video, basically, because you could see he was totally about to lose it. He was about in tears talking about Porkchop Johnson. All the wrestlers, I've never seen so many grown wrestlers become quiet people, just become absolutely silent, just have sheet white faces. All the energy sucked out of them. I don't think any of them saw this coming at all. It was seems to be a real shock to everybody. And also, just because he was such a, not just a great entertainer, it's from everything we heard from all the people talking, just a great person as well. The tribute was titled Tell the Truth, Shame the Devil. He was kind of known for his little motivational speeches that he used to give to people, and he used to sort of pep everybody up. Sledge Gibson talked about the fact how whenever he was introduced to him, or whenever he was being talked to by Porkchop, he was always talked to as champ. And you say, hey, but I dropped the championship a few weeks ago. He's like, you're still a champ to me. He was always that person that was always bigging up other people. He was always making them feel better, trying to push them onto greater things. The two things from me, the two stories that I wanted to share, because as soon as I heard about that, I immediately thought of the two things that sprung out for me. One of them was, he was known as the Atomic Dog, and he always used to come into the ring and it'd be like, whoo, whoo, whoo. Not an original thing necessarily, but for those local crowds in Virginia, which is where he mainly wrestled. He wrestled up and down the East Coast, but it was mainly Virginia, Maryland, and probably North Carolina. He was a family entertainer. He really got those crowds pumped up. Everybody in the crowd would be pumping with their arm and making the sounds. Lil Jackson, when he's 5 and 6, is making those sounds. Somebody who's instantly drawn to him. And the second story I want to tell is, you will know, Matt, I don't really get photographs with wrestlers. Normally, I'll push the kids in front and go, hey, you can get a picture. I probably have 6 or 7 pictures with wrestlers total, whereas Mason has about 150. One of them, hopefully, will never see the light of day. Space Monkey, please, I hope that picture's been deleted. It is absolutely awful. I do have one picture with Porkchop Johnson, and I can't remember the exact reasoning, but I went to Classic Pro Wrestling and I didn't have Mason or Jackson with me, and I can't remember the reason why. Anyway, I watched the match, and during the match, it looked like he'd injured his arm. I went to the merch table, and he's got his arm in a sling. And I was like, oh, I was going to ask you for, I wanted to take something back for the boys, if he could sign an 8x10 for them. And can I get like a picture? And I got the picture, which I'd posted the other day. And he said, I can try and ride it with my left hand if you like. Like, I just can't use my right arm right now. And I said, hey, that's fine. So he wrote, and it's horrible writing. But I was like, hey, that's fine. That'll be more memorable to me, the fact that you injured your arm, couldn't write. The very next day, unbeknownst to him, we were at Primetime Pro Wrestling. He's in the middle of a battle royal. No sling, nothing. Total kayfabe. He put that sling on. And didn't need it at all. But that's how much he wanted to keep that storyline going, not realizing that somebody would see him 100 miles further north the following day, and he kept that going. To me, that was absolutely precious. When I saw that, I was like, that is absolutely brilliant. That's one of those true performers who goes that extra distance. I've been hurting this week. 34-year-olds are not supposed to die that early. A great entertainer. I'm going to miss him like all those local wrestlers are. When we finally go back, his last match at CPW was something called Loser Leaves Town, and he lost that match. And so many of the wrestlers were like, that's not how this story should have ended. We're really disappointed that's how it ended. It was a storyline they were playing, and he was eventually going to come back. But it's been a real tough week for me this week with that.
I can tell why, buddy. can tell why. My backup moment really going to sound petty in comparison now.
We probably should have switched order. We never give any consideration to things like that, unfortunately.
But I am going to go to Twitter to with someone which has prompted young Conrad to doing some slagging, as it were. I'm not going to name the person who really posted the original tweet, but I'm going to quote the tweet. The thoughts of NJPW working with WWE makes me literally sick. You want NJPW to work with a company that currently has pedos and abusers on their roster. End quote. To which Conrad quoted and then replied with this message. Darby Allin and Justin Roberts were both accused in SO allegations and they were swept under the rug. New Japan Pro Wrestling has Billiam, Shingo, Honma, etc. on their roster. Please can everyone stop, because other companies are just as bad and you're just choosing to ignore it because it doesn't fit your narrative. I am seeing this more and more ever since speaking out last year. Don't get me wrong, WWE Mark, I get that. Every company has got problems with people like this buried in their systems that for one reason or another haven't faced justice, or there's reasons why things haven't been sorted one reason or another. It was uncomfortable watching Velveteen Dream since he's been back on NXT. It's been very uncomfortable to watch any match he's in. The same thing with the people who were accused in NXT UK. It's very difficult to watch them. I'm relatively sure that the people in AEW and New Japan and other companies around the world who have been accused, it's getting hard to watch these people. But at the same time, people can't compare other companies working with other people because of that, when the companies that they're already working with are already doing that sort of thing. So you can't lay out a punt with one hand and then not take one back. It's getting, sometimes I think Twitter, it makes me want to turn Twitter off. And it goes back to the whole tribalism thing. I mean, I'm sick of it. If you like one company, you like one company. I'm never going to convince Micah, I don't think, to watch WWE every single week. I'm never going to convince Graham to do it, because Graham is an indie mark. But the fact of the matter is we like what we like. But I think, I certainly speak for, but I speak for all of us on this panel, we're all sick about hearing about people who can't just be professional and not be sexual predators and the like. We're sick of hearing about these stories. People shouldn't be doing that. Why are people doing that? It makes me sick. And I'm sick of hearing about it. People, can we all just grow up and remember our responsibilities? On Twitter, people can see what you post. And newsflash, not everyone's going to agree with you.
Micah, do you want first shot?
I'll take the safe route. I agree that tribalism is toxic. I'm not going to convince Matt to watch AEW every week either, but I'm also just not going to care, because if he's not being malicious about it, if he's not like everybody who watches AEW just hates good wrestling, like, it's not like he's saying that. Maybe he is under his breath, but I think that, I mean, you like what you like. I just kind of, like, a couple years ago just stopped watching stuff that would make me angry, because there are some things, like, on Raw that I'm just like, that happened. Like, this is the first time I watched Raw, really, since Raw Underground.
Jeez.
which was a while ago. And I heard about it because I was just like, well, that's neat. Good for them. They're trying something new. You know, I don't really get retribution, but I don't think anybody.
Retribution.
Good for Mercedes Martinez for getting out of it when she could. I guess she had the opt-out clause. Graham?
I just suddenly realized I can use reactions on it, so I can kind of let you know if I agree. I could just give you a natural thumbs up. I just like my Zoom kids. I just suddenly realized you can
that click. That doesn't work for podcast, Graham.
I've realized that we could not interrupt each other as well. There's a raise your hand thing.
Matt will never use that. No, I mean, I passed it on to you.
I got totally sidetracked there. I was, that wasn't good. I was like, oh, there's a thumbs up. I agree with what Mike is saying. I better click that little button there.
That's been sitting there for the last 5 years.
I don't normally have the Skype screen open, though. I normally have the Word screen open, and I just have one picture. So I don't normally have the Skype screen open like I have right now. This week, actually, I have very limited notes. A lot of it was more from the heart this week rather than anything specific. So for this week, I haven't needed to do that, which is why I noticed. I'm going to defend, actually, the person that made that comment in the fact that I can see why somebody would be upset with seeing the things that you've just talked about at WWE, which you said are unacceptable, and WWE not doing anything about it. And if other groups join that, then it seems like you're justifying that behavior. Now, I would have had to admit, the list of names that you read off there, I didn't realize that New Japan had such issues. And I think it's very possible that another person might not as well. In my mind, New Japan is squeaky clean, actually. So when you mention that, I can kind of see where that person's coming from. Like I say, this is perception right now. This is, like I say, I have very little fact based on this, but from perception, from what I see, from what I read, with not watching the product, my understanding was that New Japan was clean relative to other groups. So I can see where that person would make that comment from. Now, I totally agree with the AEW thing that you made. Those people got away with that. That still doesn't justify that he didn't say, the comment was about you shouldn't join WWE. He didn't also say, and you shouldn't also join AEW. Just the fact that he didn't say that doesn't mean he didn't think it, though, either. So I'm going to bail him out of that side of that as well.
Other tweets that have been made that weren't on that thread have said words to that effect.
Yeah.
But I didn't include him because I was just quoting that tweet because otherwise we'd have been here for 2.5 hours.
Of course, I agree. But I think it's perfectly reasonable to say, why would you join a group that's accepting all the things that they're doing right now and seemingly let them go? But yeah, I did not realize that side of New Japan. Like I said, this is how little I don't want to say care about New Japan, but I have other things that I want to watch instead. You know, I'm a subscriber to PWI. I actually got a bonus edition this weekend. I was like, ooh, super exciting. Saw on the cover at New Japan Pro Wrestling. Started scrolling through to find out what else was in there. It's all on New Japan Pro Wrestling. I probably will never read it. I just don't have... I don't know if it's the time. I'm just not invested.
Forward it to me.
I tried. I can't figure it out how to do it electronically. I can't download it as a PDF. I can download it onto my phone, but I can't download it as a PDF. I actually thought of Mr. Tolly first, actually, I have to admit.
Yeah. Fair enough, Graham.
I've lost where we are. I think we're on a speed check, aren't we? Is that where we're at?
On the Micah speed check.
All right, Micah, go ahead. What else have you got for us that was bad this week?
Am I going to get the clock again?
As you watched Roar, I think I'm probably going to have
to. What? But what again?
The clock. You know, the little phone.
Oh, clock. I didn't hear all what you said there, sorry.
All right, Matt. Jeez. Cody Rhodes versus Peter Avalon. While I love Cody, I thought that match was pointless. I can't believe I'm saying this. AEW needs to lay off with the tag team wrestling. Use that on Dark. Also, Dark needs to stop being 25 matches long. I can't keep up. They need to really timestamp that stuff. I timestamp all of my Devoid Entertainment stuff, cheap plug. It takes 5 minutes. They're a huge company. It could, even with a premiere, they know when stuff is coming up. It's so much easier. I really don't care about Sammy Guevara versus Jobber X. I want to see my guy Griff Garrison, cheap plug. Also, I don't care about Randy Orton. Randy Orton hasn't been interesting since Evolution. There, I said it. I don't care that he got burned. He is not. He is a legend. He is not anything else. Time to the chair.
I gotta say a couple of things in response to that. One was something that I mentioned a few weeks ago, is they used to actually at least put the order of the matches. So if you could find, you could say, oh, this is this wrestler, it's a couple of wrestlers on, and then skip a little bit. And then they changed it. And I don't know if they've gone back to it, because I haven't watched since. They would put them in a random order, and you were like, how do I find a match that I want? And I feel really bad about this, because I made a comment, and I picked a random wrestler who I hadn't heard of and said, I don't want to see this person. I want to actually see the what. The name I picked was Griff Garrison, and I feel absolutely terrible, because from the moment I've said that, I've had nothing but on my radar except for Griff Garrison. He appeared on your podcast. I was like, oh, my gosh. And then somebody else was mentioning how good Griff Garrison is. So, Griff Garrison, I know you're not listening, but I apologize. I picked a name I hadn't heard of, used it as a random example, and then ever since that, I keep hearing your name over and over again. Really enjoyed the interview. And that's been something that's been bugging me for a while. So it's the perfect time to mention it as kind of my own little bonus bad cop moment, I guess. All right. My actual speed check, though, is... Sorry, I just got it. Oh, Micah stole it, didn't he? That's right. I was going to talk about The Undertaker. We talked about it on Talk at the Table, Matt. But the segment from Impact Wrestling at their pay-per-view last Saturday, which I know we released on Sunday, but it was after originally where the record would have been. The Karate Man versus Ethan Page. I haven't seen it. I have seen multiple comments on it since. Very unprofessional what they did. He asked to see the edit, and they basically didn't show him what it was. It was not what Ethan Page wanted at all. I'm guessing he's probably not that disappointed he's left that organization then, if that's the way that he's been treated. His latest thing on Twitter is kind of interesting, the waiting room. We'll have to see what that is. I guess that means that we're waiting as well to see where he's going to end up. It sounds like one of you two will be happy, because it's probably going to be AEW, or it's probably going to be WWE. I can't see him moving to a lower organization than either of those two. So I guess that's kind of a good cop moment for me.
I think he could jump across to Ring of Honor. I think he would work very well there as a kind of... And like their whatever tournament they're having that's like half MMA, half wrestling.
He could definitely do that. I know he's...
Code of Honor. Like, Code of Honor, yeah. Quiet,
but yeah, he's definitely a martial artist, but people just don't realize it. They're always surprised when he mentions it, if you don't know about it ahead of time. Yeah. All right, Matt, what you got?
Okay. Much like... our good friend Micah, I didn't enjoy the Randy Orton burnt face thing. I think that's actually kind of poor taste, to be fair. We know he's not burnt under there. I'm sorry. We can't buy into that. Nobody believes it. Some people have to declare for the Rumble, but some people have to qualify. I'm sorry, there's no consistency there. It's just confusing. Some say if you're a former champion, you get in, but that's not always the case. Casey Catanzaro may have won, but she botched her finish. So she landed at that. I'm sorry, if she didn't mean to do that finish, Graham. She meant to land feet first and stand on her backside. That is a botch. Sting is getting back in the ring again. I hate that I was right. Bianca Belair running through the Bayley obstacle course just reminded me of the old NXT challenges. Don't like it.
I posted on our Twitter account that it's very possible that the Sting thing could appear in both the good cop segment and the bad cop segment. I'm excited to see him back, but I can't believe he put him in. Did I say it was a street fight? I was like, whew. He's not even dipping his toes in gently. They're pushing him straight into the deep end.
In a street fight tag match teaming with Darby Allin against Team Taz. They're going to protect him like crazy, of course. He won't take a single bump. But the same way when Bret Hart came at WWE, Bret Hart didn't take a single bump. Not one bump did he take once he came at WWE. I guarantee you Sting will be in an AEW title match before All Out.
And if you're wrong, of course... I get $10. I can't remember. Was it Brent or was it Beaumont who was also in for $10?
Both of them.
Oh, they were both in for $10?
I've had three Coney Island hot dogs on you, apparently, if it doesn't
That's
happen.
That's a different bet. That's for a soccer bet. But yeah, Manchester City are definitely...
It is. Four.
Yeah. You said Manchester City finished in the top four, which was an equally silly thing to say.
If they play like they did tonight, they won't.
It should be pounds, because isn't dollars less? So like he only has to pay like $8.75 or something.
although, given how Brexit just happened, it may be £10 by then. So who knows?
You did say dollars, so
yeah. It may be the same equivalent is what I'm saying by that point. You never know.
But thank you for reminding me of that. Next time I have a bet, I will say pounds so I can get some more out of him. I like that idea. Shall we move on to the open agenda?
Good! Bad!
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good! Bad!
Alright, this is our opportunity where our guest gets to speak about something, I want to say non-wrestling related, but Matt never follows that when it's his open agenda. So I guess the floor is open to you, Micah. If there is anything that you would like to talk about, whether it's wrestling or anything else that's going on in the world, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, as everyone knows, the inauguration of President Joe Biden was this week. I have seen snippets of it because I work during the day, but that poem by that African-American young woman, I'm pretty sure.
I would bail you out if I could right now, but I cannot remember her name either.
I can't remember her name. I'm so sorry. Bad.
Yeah, me too.
But her poem was awesome. That was like in the highlights. At Kamala Harris being the first.
Amanda Gorman.
All right, Amanda Gorman. You just splice that in.
It's in my notes.
Oh, I just Googled it. Oh, well, I'm even more impressed if you had it written down in your notes, huh?
Kamala Harris.
I just Stephen Colbert. Carry on, Micah, sorry.
Kamala Harris being the first African-American and Asian-American and woman to be vice president. Huge glass-shattering event. His cabinet is probably the most diverse that's ever been. Andrew Yang is running for New York City mayor. He's not part of the cabinet. If you've seen any interviews that he's done with like Chris Van Vliet or any other things, he said he wants to. He was a wrestling fan when he was a kid, and he wants to get that thing out of WWE and decide if it's their employees or independent contractors. Which when Graham made his pre-bad cop moment, I wanted to say that Stanford people, so like people who work in Titan Towers, are employees, so WWE will pay for theirs, probably. They're not independent contractors, so writers, producers, which that's a huge other problem, that they get health insurance, but the guys who put their bodies on the line have to pay their own doctor's bills. The Conor McGregor fight is tonight. That's going to be epic. I'm going to pay for that. That's going to be so cool. I'm wicked excited for that. That co-main event between Michael Chandler and Dan Hooker, who I just saw has to be out of New Zealand because that's where he's from. He won't be able to like go back to his house until March, which sucks because of quarantine. So I feel for Dan Hooker.
Wow.
And yeah, Devoid Entertainment, it's. I know I should probably plug this, but I've been doing a lot of work on that, trying to revamp it, trying to make it better. It's now a one-on-one format. We held our first show back for season 2 weeks ago. And it's so much better. It was like 45 minutes, so Hopefully we can get you to one to see who's the best at guessing what a price is on a random piece of Amazon. Maybe, hopefully you know movies. If you don't, you better look them up.
You better not do Netflixopedia or whatever it was called. Oh my gosh, I was awful at that. I think I was like 0 for 10. I was like, oh my gosh.
I've gotten way better at it when I play, but mostly because I am the one who's looking through to do it, and I just like pass on those ones. It's become a sport. My sister and I tried to invent a new game, and I'll give the title for crossover appeal. It's called Netflix or Notflix. Is the title?
Love it. Love it.
It's a great. I am the king of puns. I will continue to be the king of puns until a new king is crowned.
You can be the king of puns. I'm the prince of podcasting.
I am really looking forward to, and I'm assuming it's coming out probably within the next 10 days. I'm not sure what format it is, with the Brainbuster Boys. I am really looking forward to that.
I can tell you when it comes.
Those boys are fantastic.
They were so great. I have it scheduled for, I believe, the first Tuesday in February.
There we go. So, yeah, about 10 days. That's about right then. Yeah. Well,
yeah, they were.
If it's the first Tuesday in February, then that's the 2nd of February. That is a date I will circle on my calendar.
Yeah, that is the ultimate Tuesday, 2-2 Tuesday.
Ah.
I believe I put that in the thing. They're so great. I'm so glad that we hooked up with them. They're very funny. They're very creative. They definitely, I think they're Dan Callis bit. I didn't get it at first. I thought that they were screwing. I thought they were, it was an accident at first. And then I listened back to yours because I was just like, I don't hear that. And then they said that it was an accident that turned into a bit. I didn't get to say it, but Excalibur on commentary messing up Bert. I'm not even going to try to say it. K's name for the host of the Go Big Show. It's like a bit now.
The best stuff you can't script. The best stuff ever you can't script. As when I became on your show before, I've looked back on the YouTube videos a couple of times, but when you made the creative edit, shall we say, including where I literally took my headphones off and you put those up, instantly regret saying yes. I had so much fun watching it back. It was so much fun to do it, even if it was 3 a.m. by the time we finished. I don't care. It was so much fun.
Yeah, there's been a lot of crossover podcasts recently. Zachary Shiloh's had a lot of people on who, like, he asked me, like, who would you recommend? There's, like, so many people. Like, he said, like, give me three names. There's so many good podcasts out there right now. It was no problem nominating. And I think everybody he asked said yes. I was like, great. I got to get to hear two podcasts at the same time I like together.
I would say, Graham, and Mikey will probably agree with me on this one as well, it's hard to name a bad podcaster.
Obviously if I don't like them, they're obviously not gonna be on my
list. Yeah, I could say I could name a couple that I have stopped listening to because I just can't get into them.
Didn't you listen to the podcast one time, Matt? Was it Ryback? There was one you
That's a bonus bad cop moment, by the way, for me. He's coming back to the squared circle, and apparently it's with AEW. AEW fans have said, we don't want you.
It's true.
I don't get it. I don't get why Ryback, he was dangerous in the ring. He was dangerous. He made Nia Jax look safe.
What was his comment involving Mark Henry this week? Because I kind of missed it. All I heard that
he said that he was like, he said something about that John Cena didn't even want to work with him because he was S-word. Which is not true because John Cena, I'm pretty sure, had a WWE title program with him in the fake retirement angle.
So sour grapes from Ryback, essentially. Okay.
Mark Henry's a Hall of Famer, and he's an absolute gent.
Yeah. Derek was convinced that Ryback was going to come back, was going to premiere an AEW show, but it was Pac instead. Like, Derek was absolutely just like, I don't know why Derek did, because I said, there's no way. There's no way with all the bad blood that Ryback comes with. Because it's not like Ryback doesn't just burn bridges. He lights the fire in the city too. Like he does not care.
It's not a fire. He plants a nuclear warhead on the bridge.
He pours the gasoline trail. There's a gasoline trail coming out of his pants. I mean, I don't know why. I don't want to start beef with Ryback. Derek's he could probably beat me up. I saw a couple years ago he had a hotel, like the Ryback Hotel, and
Huh.
it was like a tourist trap kind of thing. But like, oh my God, why would you want to rent a house from him? Like, I wouldn't want to rent a house from anybody
To find the Travelocity reviews for that place. I mean, I guess there could be some interesting material there from people that don't like him, possibly, but had to stay there because there was nowhere else.
Yeah, remind me of Robbie Fowler, Graham. Everyone lives in Robbie Fowler house.
All right, should we move on? Should we get this wrap this thing up? Should we get on to our devil's advocate round?
Absolutely.
Now, what the proposal was is we each do it with three people. That Micah gives us each a devil's advocate mat, and then I assumed you had one prepared for Micah as well, and then we would just
I
decide
have
which one
three.
to. You have, well, of course. So we figured I was going to text you a number. Tell me one or two, and then we'll let Micah pick. Micah has said, unless he wants to back out of this, and he's quite welcome to do so if he wants, that he would actually defend one from each of us. So if that is still true, I think we'll just play one-on-one. So perhaps Micah and Matt go first. You can trade devil's advocates, and then it can be Micah and me, and we can trade devil's advocates.
Bring it on.
All right, well, Micah,
Okay.
as you've been very good in even offering to take two devil's advocates, with Matt first, would you like to give your devil's advocate or would you like to receive?
I would love to give my devil's advocate to Matt.
All right, let me just adjust my time first because, as much as I'm sure he would like a minute, I'm not going to give him that option. I'm going to control it down to 20 seconds. So,
Now,
all right, I am ready whenever you guys are.
everyone knows that Matt and I have a little rivalry on Twitter, mostly revolving around Cody Rhodes. But that's too easy. So
Too obvious.
I went for the heart. My devil's advocate for Matt is WWE Monday Night Raw should be nominated and win the Outstanding Variety Sketch Series Emmy.
Absolutely. But what WWE do best is produce outstanding content, and the Emmy for outstanding sketch can be attributed to anything. Look at everything that they do. You've got AJ Styles, you've got all these people who can do great comedy. It's the perfect award for them.
There was nothing but us for the first 3 seconds. I think if we time it, you were struggling on that one, sir. That was not coming off the time.
I was trying to remember the actual words you were saying because I think like they have an Emmy for outstanding sketch. I
Yeah,
didn't actually know that.
SNL wins it like every year.
Well, I was no, I was processing that part first, and I'm thinking like, okay, then I got going sort of thing. So, okay.
You're gonna
Okay,
give
I've
Micah
got
the option?
three here.
You normally ask me,
I
though,
have
like one, two, or three.
you want one, two, or three.
I'll take one.
I thought you might say that, Micah. We had a little chat pre-show. I hope that worked.
I apologize about this. Okay,
Uh-oh.
seeing Bianca Belair carry Otis with ease is in has inspired me to fireman carry Derek on a regular basis.
Well, actually, my New Year's resolution is to work out more, and that would be a great time for bonding with Derek and I. I haven't seen Derek since February. That's a long time. If I have to firearm carry him, we get to have a plan. We get to hang out. Hopefully, it's not the entire time we hang out. I can't because that would be an interesting podcast, actually. That'd be probably the funniest podcast we ever do.
Time.
Time. Whoa, that was way from left field. That was perfectly dealt with. Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. There's no way you can prepare for that one.
The other two were pretty good as well, I think, but
yeah. We'll get them later. Very good. All right, then, how are we doing
so
this
month? If that's the case, then, Micah, do you want to take Graham's first or second?
Should I do back-to-back ones? No, I'll give Graham's to give me a little time to...
Okay.
Jimmy versus Jey Uso should main event night one of WrestleMania.
Absolutely. I can say that guy's... Whoops. That guy's been out of business for a little while, so what's perfect for a pop, somebody you don't necessarily expect to come back? All this rivalry right now with Roman Reigns has been focused on the head of the table. It's all been about family values and that sort of thing. What could be better than a brother versus brother rival? This is Cain and Abel again. This is Undertaker versus Kane. This is exactly the type of thing wrestling fans look for.
Time.
Ooh.
That was terrible.
I appreciate that softball. That was kind of nice. I would actually be totally up for that match, actually. That would be all right.
Oh, that main eventing?
Well, perhaps not main event. I don't think they could unless one of them's chatting. There'll be a lot of setup to actually.
Yeah, you defended the match, not the main event. Like the spot, like the main event spot of night one.
So I focus on the wrong aspect of it, then? Is that what you guys are saying?
That is a fail, Graham.
I still think that's what people want, though. Kane versus Undertaker was main event worthy, right?
No.
You don't think that's main event worthy? I didn't say it was a main event. I said main event worthy.
If you ever saw their matches, Graham, they weren't mid-card worthy.
Oh, come on. I can't talk WWE with you. It's too painful. All right, Micah, let's have a look at your...
Don't come at me, bitch!
This is actually kind of perfect. I was a little worried. I only had one devil's advocate for Micah, and he almost mentioned it as well. I was like, oh, this could be bad. All right. Oh, let me get my stopwatch ready, because we still have to time you as well. All right, Micah. Your devil's advocate for this week is... Peter Avalon tapping out rather than getting hit in the face by Cody Rhodes is the proudest moment in AEW history.
Well, I think the brand inclusion of TNT, because this was all set up for Shaq, but also AEW is doing a smart thing because Cody's slap, the fear that it instills in that, more powerful than the figure four, unbelievable.
Time. Yeah, when you mentioned Peter Avalon, I was like, oh, he's already going to talk about it in his bad cop moment. I saw it today. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that before. Like, he was in the figure four leg lock, as far as I could tell. Yeah. And then Cody was kind of sat up, and he was about ready to hit him, and he just went, I'll just tap out instead.
Yeah, he slapped him, and then it was just kind of like awaking the giant.
Okay, I didn't see the whole thing. I did a very quick top five AEW moments, so in case you talked about anything, I would at least have some idea what was going on. I actually watched a lot more of SmackDown this week, actually, Matt. I was kind of excited when I saw some of the things going on Twitter, so I actually did watch a little bit more than I would normally do, but yeah.
Thank you again, Micah. Where can people get a touch of you on Twitter, etc. like that? And if they aren't subscribing to your podcast on YouTube, etc., where can people get hold of it?
So you can find me personally at Dying Format on Twitter. You can find it at Devoid Podcast. It's the podcast I do with the aforementioned Derek. We're going on a more, we have a variety of content. We are not just a podcast. We do shows. We do our game show that I've mentioned a couple times, Devoid Entertainment. I'm currently the champion. There is a commissioner. It's more like a sport this time around. And we're doing it very well, I think. You two, of course, welcome on. We have invited Brett and Beaumont on for when they want. We're pre-recording them, too. So hopefully there's it's less time, so it's not an hour and a half. The last one was 45 minutes. You can also find me doing The Theory of Humor on YouTube, which is a show
very
that I...
Very good show it is, too.
One of my favorite things that I have ever done were me and my really good friend, not Micah, do a comedic philosophy take on moments from popular comedy, TV shows, movies, sketches. And I have a really fun time doing that. That is probably one of the best things if I were to be remembered for anything, I would want it to be that.
It I was is writing a great notes. Show. I wasn't aware of that one. I got a few little notes I've been making during the show, and I've added that one to my list of things to look up. Why are you pulling a face, Graham?
I'm pulling a face because, Graham, during the epic 6-hour podcast you put me through on View from Top Rope, Mike messaged in from that podcast asking about the show and everything. I had seen the show. I was the only person who had. How you didn't take note of it during that shows you weren't paying full attention. Oh, he went there.
It's amazing how I didn't remember all 120 questions from 40-plus people. That's a shocker.
Damn, I remember them all.
Of course you did. All right, I say we are going to be seeing Micah again soon in February, but you are going to have, I believe you're having Derek with us at that point. I think it's totally devoid podcast. At least I'm hoping that's what's going to happen. If not, of course, as everything's subject to change, I think we're done until next week, Matt. We're out of here.
Boom.
Good. Bad.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/